went through the documentary, went through some of the notes, and that's one of the standouts to me was the idea that it's much larger, much broader than the idea of just seeing Black people in the future or in space, or just seeing Black people in scenes like Black Panther.
What's up?
I never yielded! And as you can see, I am not dead!
So if you can go into the importance of highlighting these other aspects of Afrofuturism that don't necessarily talk about the, you know, arts and movies and different things like that.
Right. I think one of the things that is really at the core of Afrofuturism is its emphasis on rethinking how knowledge is created. And a lot of thinkers, a lot of people who are doing Afrofuturism really were emphasizing what they would describe as a tendency in Black culture to speculate towards freedom. And that's a requirement if you think about this in the context of slavery and oppressive systems globally and how that intersects with Blackness. And there's a way that Afrofuturism is really that practice that is born of the intersection between Black people facing oppression and speculating about how to overcome that. And if that is the case, if this is a tendency within the Black diaspora, then you can really be Afrofuturist at any time as long as you're sort of facing the sort of question of systemic erasure or oppression and, you know, hostility towards Blackness. So the slave who got off the boat and, you know, promises themselves, I'm going to survive this, and if I'm not free, my children will be free, is really speculating about survival tactics and futures, and that in itself a very Afrofuturist thing. So there's a way that every time you're hearing the term Afrofuturism, it's really signaling a kind of alternative framework to think about not just simply contemporary questions about the future, but really how Black people's visioning of the future has been tending towards a kind of speculative liberatory practice. Freedom, I can't move. Freedom, cut me loose. Freedom, freedom, where are you? Cause I need freedom too. I break chains all by myself. Won't let my freedom ride in hell. Hey, I'ma keep on running cause the winner don't quit on themselves. But just thinking about the future in terms of what we're talking about right now and the idea, one of the things that came up in a documentary film oftentimes was the idea of a future being hopeful because it hasn't been written yet. We don't know what it is. Of course, we know what the past is, but we know what we want the future to be or possibly look like. Could you get into the idea of Afrofuturism using the future as a way of shaping our future realities? Right. I think one of the things about futurism is that it provides a reminder, a very strong way that utopian or futuristic narratives have had a strong impact. And that impact is something that is not denied us right now, right? So one way we might think about this is that by studying science fiction or studying speculative things, that offers an opportunity for both us to understand the nature of the system that we live in, but also at pivotal moments to imagine a break from that, right? And we can think about this in the past as, you know, what does it take for civil rights activists to imagine that they could overcome Jim Crow segregation? Well, they have to have at some level, the political imagination. They have to be able to imagine a world that is unlike any world that they've ever been in, as their forefathers had, right? So there's a way. I have a colleague named John Jennings, and he talks about, can you tell me where that mountaintop is that Martin Luther King mentioned? It is a speculative construct, but it's one that's very clear.
I wish I could live in a fantasy world where anything just make. In the words of my song.
So there's a practice of imagination that is political and social and economic that we engage in all the time. I like to point out to students there are lots of theories that we accept and we think of them as true. Capitalism is a theory, like Adam Smith. Like, there's lots of things about it. But it's just theoretical, right? It could be something else.
Do you often see, or have you ever seen, or have you ever encountered any type of a pushback for possibly, you know, people who say have issues with labels or who have issues with this or have issues with that? Do you ever come across people who say, I don't want to be considered that, or I don't want that to be a term used because they just don't know?
Oh, sure. I think even the term Afrofuturism has, that word has detractors because it was coined by a white cultural theorist. Some people might want to use a term like black imaginary, or they might say black fantastic, or things like that. It is also true that I think because Afrofuturism is often defined almost exclusively as a future-oriented narrative, people have a hard time seeing how a kind of speculative fiction framework addresses their problem right now, right? Like, I have a problem right now that is hunger. I have a problem right now is this. And so a kind of future-oriented thing that doesn't address that problem. I am often mindful of the fact that, you know, when we say Afrofuturism, especially in the United States, we are thinking about it from the context of an African-American framework. And, you know, now there are terms like African futurism, and there is definitely a recognition that future narratives in other parts of the world, other parts of the black diaspora, are not necessarily going to mirror the exact same future narrative that someone is having in the United States. And I point this out to students. If you're a kid in Chicago and you're dreaming about the future, you're not going to dream about the same future as a kid in Lagos. But you might, in fact, still share a concern about systemic pressures that are limiting your ability to feel free.
Yeah.